Wrong decisions equals wrong results.
Matthew 22, verses 36 to 40. The Pharisees and the Sadducees and the people are gathered around Jesus, and one of them, who was an attorney, asked Jesus a question. He asks it to tempt him. And when he asks the question, he says, "Master, which is the great commandment in the law?" Jesus said unto him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like unto it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." In other words, on these two commandments hang everything in God's word in your life. These two commandments are the most important ones for you to keep and to hold and to not give up. Because, as you will notice here, it says, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart." Your heart is your spirit. "With all your soul," which is your will, your intellect, your emotions. It's what you choose. It's your chooser. Everybody has in their mind a part of your mind which is your soul, the spiritual part that God has given you. Now, we are a body. But we are not truly a body. Actually, we are a spirit. Because in the book of Genesis, we are made in the image of God, and God is a spirit. So many times you will hear people say, "We're a body, we have a spirit and a soul." Not so. We are a spirit in a body. Your body, your spirit man, the part that's alive with God, looks exactly like your outward man, except that it's invisible. And so that part inside of you, God has formed the outside of you so that you can have the ability to remain here on the earth. But along with your spirit man, you have a soul. Your soul is what you think with, but it's separate from your mind. In other words, we have a heart. The heart that God talks about in the Bible is talking about your spirit. It's not talking about the one that pumps the blood. However, without the heart pumping the blood, your body would die. So without your heart belonging to God, your spirit is dead. You have a soul, you have a mind. A part of your mind is your soul, which gives you the ability to choose. In your soul, that's where your emotions are. Whenever you cry, it's not your spirit that cries, it's your soul that moves on your body to cry. Whenever you get angry, whenever you get happy.
Wrong decisions equals wrong results.
Right when we get born again, we don't get some nice, slim, trim, small, teeny, weeny body that we were all like. We keep that same body. We have to renew our mind, or you keep the same mind connected to the world. So your soul is what connects you both places. It's like this. If I have Jerry's hand and I have Tammy's hand, this is my spirit. I'm connected to God on this hand, but I'm connected to the world this way because of my body. And so my mind, which is my soul, up in here is going to say, "Go this way, go this way, go this way, go this way." And who does the choosing? I do the choosing. So your soul is what chooses whether you do right or whether you do wrong. Now, on your sheet that I have given you, there are different categories. I want you to be honest with yourself, and I want you to notice that as I go through these questions, you are going to grade yourself. Nobody needs to look on anybody else's, nobody's business but yours and God's, how your answers come up. But let me tell you this. If you answer never, and your answer should be often, you're deceiving yourself. You need to be truthful with yourself. That's the only way we can ever help ourselves, is to be truthful with ourselves. Because if you think, "I'm okay, I don't have a problem, you know, I mean, I'm walking with God, I can do whatever I want to do," wrong. And you are being deceived. You are being deceived because the devil is saying to you, "It's okay, you can do this, God will understand." Yes, God will understand, but it's still your choice. So be honest with yourself. All right. Do you pray? Do you read and talk to Him? Do you wait for an answer? All number one. All number one. Although we could do it in three, it probably would be better. Do you pray? Do you pray every day? Let me put it like that. Do you talk to God every day? Now, praying and talking to God, yes, this is true. But you can also just talk to God without asking Him anything. When we give our praise reports, we're talking to God. We're thanking Him. All right? Do you wait for an answer? You know, so many times we pray, we go to God, we ask Him things, but then, oh, I got to go, Lord. I don't have much time now, so we're on our way out the door. Do you really follow what we have just read? Loving the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. Do you really love your neighbor as yourself? Who's your neighbor? Anybody you come in contact with is your neighbor. The people you work with, your neighbors in your neighborhood, the people that you meet at the gas station or at the drugstore or at the ice cream shop, those are all your neighbors. Is God first in your life? Is He first? Well, I have my family. Well, I have my job. Well, I have my school. Well, I have my studies. Is He first in your life? If you are too busy for God, you are too busy. And you might as well learn that right now. Because the devil will keep you so busy doing other things that you do not have time for God, and you will say, I'll do it later, I'll do it later, I'll do it later. Tonight comes, you haven't read, you haven't prayed, you haven't done anything, and then you try to pray and you fall asleep. We've all been there, we've all done that. Do you say things that make Jesus smile? Or do you say things that grieve the Holy Spirit? Now what makes Jesus smile? What makes Him smile is when you say things that line up with the Word. When you give your praise reports, you are making Him smile. But do you do that every day? Or is it once in a while thing, or a Sunday morning thing? Are your actions helping anyone to see Jesus in you? Does anyone know that you're a Christian? If Jesus would appear, this is a question, this is just something to give you to think about. If Jesus would appear when you were with your group of friends, would you be embarrassed or would you be happy? Would you say, this is my best friend Jesus, or would you say, sit there, go behind me, another time Jesus, not now. Does the enemy have you deceived into thinking you're okay? Yeah, you don't pray, you don't sing, you don't praise, you don't do this, but you're okay. It's a deception. I don't have a number that way, but...
I have
eight.
Does the enemy have you deceived into thinking you're okay? Have you had the thought in your life, when you know that you're doing something wrong, has this thought occurred to you? It's okay. You can do this just this one time. Nobody will know. Nobody will ever have to know. Does that kind of a thought ever come to you? Pardon me? Have you thought, has the enemy ever come to you with a thought of, it's okay to do this? You can go ahead and do this just one time. Nobody's going to know the difference. You can connect with porn this time. Nobody's going to know. You can listen to this dirty joke. Nobody's going to know. You can do this. You can take this drink. You can go here. You can walk there. Nobody's going to know. Has the enemy given you that thought? And is it often? Have you shown love to at least one person a day for the last week? I don't mean running up and hugging and kissing them. I mean love, we do love by action. Do you honor your parents? Now, gotcha. Do you honor your parents? Honor them means this is the first commandment with long life. My old lady says I can't go. I hate my mother. My dad is so mean. Honor, that is not honoring your parents. Do you do things to help someone because you have to? In other words, your mother will say, would you mind putting the dishes in the dishwasher? Oh man, I did that last week. Why can't he do it or she do it or they do it? Do you help do things just because you want to help? In other words, your mother is, if you see clothes on the floor, you walk right over them, you step over them, you don't bother to pull the blanket that you use while you're watching TV, you don't put stuff away, you know your mother's got a heavy schedule, you know she's got a lot of stuff to do. Do you help in any way of your own accord? And not just your mother, it could be your neighbor, it could be the neighbor carrying in groceries, it could be anything like that. Do your friends or your workers hear you grumble and complain? Man, that boss is getting out of hand. This isn't my job. I shouldn't have to do this. I don't know why that teacher wants me to do this assignment. He just doesn't understand. Do you not just do something you are asked to do, or do you say, I'm going to do it, but you never get around to it, and then you ignore what someone has asked you to do? Do people around you ever see something in you that they would desire? Do people around you see something in you that they would desire? Which should be Jesus. Which should be love. Do people around you see something in you that would lead them to the Lord? What about your friends? Are they the friends that you could say, Jesus, I want you to meet John, or Mary, or Joe, or Lillian? Are your friends loyal and true to you, and are you loyal and true to them? Do you gossip about them? Oh, you know, she did this. Oh, don't you just hate that hair? I mean, after all, she thinks it looks so nice. It looks awful, don't you think? And that color on her, and look at that style. Are you a loyal friend or a true friend? You reap what you sow. Do you or your friends lie, cheat on a test, swear, look at the wrong things, do the wrong things? If you have a friend that steals from you, they are not your friend. If you are a real friend, will stay true to you even if you're wrong. They will not agree with you all the time. They'll tell you when you're wrong, but they're not going to just agree with you. All right? Let me see, I have one more here. Do you say things to impress others even if they are not true? In other words, that's pride. You want people to look at you and think, wow. And they are not true, things that you say. All right, does that complete my numbers or not? No? All right, then let's add this one more. Do you lose your temper a lot? Now, let me just, that's the end of that. Fold that paper, fold it in half, put it away. You can check your answers later as to where you stand with God. But let me just tell you this. If you have a lot more in the very often column than in the very few, you need to start getting your life right. Because you know what? Wrong choices bring wrong results. I happened to be watching Paula White one morning this week, or last week, and she had a young man on there who was, I think he was 19, and he had gone into, he'd gone to a party, and he was driving, and he started to drink. And as he started to drink, he knew he shouldn't be drinking, but he thought, oh, this is one time it's not going to hurt. Well, what happened was the young man got in his car, and he ended up hitting another car of a woman who was pregnant and killing her. Well, the next thing you know, he was up for traffic manslaughter and facing life imprisonment. Now, one of the women who was the sister of the woman that was killed happened to go to Paula White's church. And this is how God operates. She and her husband began to pray as the man was going to be indicted. And they began to pray and really seek God because they loved their sister, of course, very much. She and her sister were very, very close. And here was this life taken away because of this young man. So they began to pray and seek God. And God said to her, and the husband confirmed it, you need to forgive it. We need to intercede on his behalf. So they went to the indictment, and they went to the trial. And as the man was sentenced to so many years in prison, some vast amount, 20 years, he was only 18 or 19, so this was a good chunk of his life, she asked the judge if she could speak. In the meantime, she talked to her entire family, some of whom were not saved, and they said, absolutely not. You are not going to do this. He's taken a life. He needs to pay a life for a life. Well, as it turned out, more and more of the family agreed with her that she should do this. So they interceded on the young man's behalf, and the judge said, all right, the sentence that I am going to pronounce on him is going to be for the next 5 years. He's going to have to go around to every school or university that he can get into to tell them the results of drinking and driving. Now, Paula White had them both sitting side by side, and they were both torn by emotion, and yet he was so grateful for the opportunity to tell others that the wrong choice he had made was the wrong choice. And so he's getting into high school after high school and college, going to speak to these people because he said, this is the thing. You think to yourself, and the devil says to you, it'll never happen to you. You know about that guy that killed this girl on TV? I mean, you've heard his testimony? It'll never happen to you. He said, don't believe it. It's a lie of the devil. It will happen to you if you open the door. So, wrong choices, wrong decisions lead to wrong results. If you're taking notes this morning, write that down. If you make the wrong decision, you are going to have the wrong results. Now, I'm going to ask Jerry to help me here. Alright. This is you. These are some of the good qualities that you have. You want to obey the Lord. You want to do all that He says you need to do. These represent things where you are a little bit shady and you allow them into your life. That's why they're black. You can drink. You can take drugs. You can lie. You can do whatever you want. It's your life. It's still your spirit. But all these things have entered in. And with each one of those things that you have allowed to leave in, look what happens. Your spirit becomes just a little bit discolored. But the more you allow in, the more you become separated from God. Now, this is you who are yielding to the things of the world. You see how it's kind of lingering in there? You still have some God stuff, but you still have some other stuff. The more you yield to the wrong choices, the more you yield to that, the further away from God you become, until little by little, and this is something the devil does very gradually. It may not be in a week, may not be in a month, may not be in a year, but all those things continue to grow in your life until you are totally away from God. Until you can't see the good stuff. Until you can't hear God's voice. Until you are so far out in the world that you cannot be reached. Not that God will not continue to reach you, but that you cannot be reached because your mind is so acclimated to doing the wrong thing that you don't want to be reached. And that's an important thing. You just put that over there, Jerry. Thank you. So you see, your wrong decisions are going to have an effect on your life. Every little thing that you yield to, you may not know this, but every person that has sex with another person takes on some of that person's soul. That's a soul tie involved there. And so this is what I'm saying to you. Okay, you may have a relationship, and you may think this relationship is innocent. And so as you begin to yield to that sexual part of that relationship, and I'm telling you this now so that you all know it, you take on a little bit of that person's emotion, their will, their intellect, so that, let's just say, the guy or the girl that you meet up with is a liar. Guess who gets some of that lying spirit that the mate had? They do not go away. They become a part of you. So you break up with this guy, or you break up with this girl, and you go to another one. A little bit of that one, and a little bit of that one, a little bit of that, and a little bit of that, and a little bit of that. Until pretty soon, you are overcome. And those are never broken throughout your entire life unless you know. Unless you know what you have done, and you literally break that soul tie with the blood of Jesus. I don't know what you've done. I don't care what you've done. But I am telling you now so that you will know what you have done if you have participated is you have taken on some of another person's spirit. Now, let's just take, for example, a prostitute. A prostitute, whether a male or a female, has many, many mates, sometimes even one night. Why do you think there are so many prostitutes that commit suicide? Because they become so overcome with the wrong stuff. The soul tie is there, and they keep adding to the soul tie. By the same token, the soul tie, some of you, goes into them, and it isn't the godly that goes into them. So you need to realize that. So what can you do? I'll add a little PS right here. All you need to do is repent of that, is go to God, say, I'm sorry, forgive me, and by an act of your will, say, in the name of Jesus and with his blood, I break that soul tie away from me. But then you do not yield to that again. All right? Galatians 5. Galatians chapter 5 starts out with this. Well, we're not going to go with what it starts out with. We'll go to verse 17. The flesh, which is your senses, your emotions, your soulish realm is your flesh realm. So your flesh, your soul, your will, your emotions, they're all connected to the earthly or the worldly realm. The flesh wars against the spirit, and the spirit wars against the flesh. These are contrary to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would like to do. Now, I am representing my walk with the Lord. I know what the Word says. I know what the Lord says I should do. That when I yield to the flesh, and the flesh pulls at me, I'm walking away from God, and He has to keep a strong hold on me. Then if God keeps a strong hold on me, and He shall keep what? Oh, God, keep a strong hold on the flesh. As He pulls me His way, then the things of the flesh are always there. But you will notice they're always there. God will never leave you nor forsake you. The devil is always out to get you. Now, if the devil can get you out of the love realm, the realm of God is the love realm. If he can get you out, then he's going to do that until your hold with God is totally broken. But the more you yield to the Spirit and you hold on to the things of God, the less your flesh wants to yield to the things of the world. So it is a constant battle that goes on all the time, back and forth, back and forth, and you are the middleman. But guess what? God cannot go past your will. So if you will to choose the flesh or the senses, God has to let you go and say, okay, that's your choice. God cannot let you do anything. By the same token, if you obey the will of God and you move towards Him, the devil loses his place in your life. All right, so Galatians 5:17. Verse 18 says, if you are led of the Spirit, you are not under the law or the law of sin and death. Now, I want to stop right here, hold your hand there, put a marker there. Go to Romans 8:1 because we will be returning to Galatians. Romans 8 and verse 1 and 2. There is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. There is no condemnation to those who do not follow their sense realm, but who walk after the Spirit. Why? Because verse 2 says this, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made you free from the law of sin and death. Walk in the flesh, you are walking in the law of sin and death. The law of sin and death says this, you sin, you are opening yourself to every law of sin and death that Satan has on this earth. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus says this, as you walk in the Word, as you walk in the life of God, you are set free from the law of sin and death. So you say to yourself, well, I have accepted Jesus to be the Lord of my life. Great. Is he continuing to be the Lord of your life? We have people all the time who are going into hell who say, well, you know, I accepted Jesus when I was a little boy, so therefore I can do whatever sin I want to do. It's not going to matter because I'm saved. Oh, but it will save me because you will not be saved. You are not saved. Because if you are saved, you are going to want to walk in the Spirit of life. Now you'll notice again, read it with me. There is therefore no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who, or if, you walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law, and it is a law, God has spiritual laws. If you break the law, you open yourself up to the enemy. If you keep the law, you don't. We have laws in the land. Listen, every natural thing follows a spiritual pattern. Why do you think you have parents? Because God is our parent in the spirit realm. Why do you think we have laws in the land? Because God has laws in his word. You break the speed limit, you break the law, you get a ticket, you go to court, you get jailed, whatever it is. Why? Because you broke the law. So do we think then that God's laws have no price if I break them? Of course they do. That's what God is telling us here in Romans 8, 1 and 2. If you walk in the Spirit, meaning walk in the Word, walk in love. If you walk according to what God tells you to walk, you are set free from the law of sin and death. But if I choose to walk in the law of sin and death, then I'm walking like the glass filled with colored water. I don't see the things of God because they are hidden from me. Now, let's go back and let's keep on going in Romans 8 here. And verse 4. The righteousness of the law will be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Verse 7. The carnal mind is an enemy of God. What is a carnal mind?
A carnal mind is, I'll just do what I want to do when I want to do it. If it feels good, I'll do it. A carnal mind is moving by your senses. It feels good, it looks good, might not be good, might not be good for me. How do you think so many people have AIDS? Why do we think we see so many different diseases in the world today? A lot of them are coming from disobedience to God. Because it isn't God that says, okay, you did this, so I'm going to zap you with this. No, but you come under the law of sin and death that we just talked about. Those that are in the flesh, verse 8, cannot please God. If you are of God, the Holy Spirit dwells in you, and you should not be in the flesh or in the sense realm. And verse 13, if you live after the flesh, or the carnal realm, or the sense realm, you shall die. Isn't that a good thought? No, it's not a good thought, but it's true. God's word is true. You live the way you want to live, the end result is death. But if you, through the Spirit, do mortify or do put down what your body wants, you know what? I really would like a cigarette. No, I really wouldn't. I'm just using this as an example. I really would like a cigarette. Your spirit man says to you, you don't need that. You don't need that. Yeah, I do. I really want to do that. Okay. So I'm willing to take that cigarette. I'm willing to put it to my mouth. I'm willing to light it. I put that out. I say, I can handle it. No biggie. You go to a party. Oh, come on. Everybody's lighting up. I did it before and it didn't have any effect on me. No, it's okay. Before you know it, it'll be one after another, after another, after another. And do you know what a habit is? A habit is something that has control of you, that you cannot control. It's the same thing with drinking. It's the same thing with dancing. It's the same thing with dressing. It's the same thing with everything in our lives. Regardless of how old we are, we have the choice. Now, if you live, again, read with me in verse 13. If you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you live after the Spirit, or what the Word of God says, you shall live. You may not die physically, immediately, but the worst death that anybody can have is to be separated from God. Do you think that there are people in hell that are happy with where they are? Let me tell you, there's not one person happy in hell. Happy with all my friends! No, you won't. Because you know what? People who have seen hell, everybody has their own little self. And you are doing 24 hours a day what you enjoy doing in life. The gambler, he gambles 24 hours a day. He hates it. He can't stand it. The drinker drinks 24 hours a day, and he hates it. The smoker smokes 24 hours a day. Drugs, pornography, the pornographer, the sex abuser, the child abuser, that's all they do 24 hours a day. If you had to do something 24 hours a day, you would hate it. We would hate it. And that's the way it is in hell. Hell is a real, real place. Now go back to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. I want you to take one of these and pass them around, please. So that you will know what it is that the Bible is talking about, I have made you a copy of this, so you will have no excuse as to saying, well, I didn't understand what emulations was. Well, I didn't understand what heresy did, or anything like that. All right, now follow along with me, not that list, but Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 13 says, you have been called unto liberty. You are set free. from the things of the world. Liberty means set free. But then he says, do not use that liberty for your flesh. Well, I've been set free from that. I don't have that habit anymore, so I can go ahead and do that now. It's not a habit anymore. It still is. It's a desire. By love, serve one another. All right? Then let's go down to verse 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, walk after the Word, and you will not, absolutely will not, fulfill your desires of your body or the world. Your flesh is what's connected to the world. Walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill those lusts. For the flesh wars against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. They are going to try to pull you in opposite ways, like we did with this rubber band. And if you are led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now, verse 19 says, the works of the flesh are shown by this. The word manifest means shown. Others can see them in your life. The works of the flesh, or your sensual or your carnal part of your body, are these. Adultery. Adultery is sex with a married person. In other words, the mate that you choose is married, or you are married. That's adultery. The difference between adultery and fornication is this. Fornication is sex with somebody that isn't married. Or you are not married. Either mate is not married. But it's still sex outside of marriage. God ordained sex. God has ordained sex to be right and good and pure. But the Word of God says marriage comes first. Or fornication. Uncleanness. Uncleanness is impure thing. Now I've written down both definitions. What the dictionary says, which is the world's point of what it is, and what God says that the thing is. Uncleanness to the world is impure, filthy conversation, dirty jokes. Impurity to God is sensual stuff. Stuff that's going to excite you sexually, spiritually, and spiritually be wrong. It's immorality, something that you know is not morally right, but you're going to do it anyway. And it goes along with the dirty jokes and the immorality as well. Lasciviousness. Lasciviousness is lack of self-control. Well, I know I shouldn't do this, but I'm going to do it anyway. Wild and reckless, you leave the things of God behind you. You become indecent or immoral, and you become a slave to depraved ideas. Well, how can that be? How can I become a slave to a moral idea? The more you participate in a thing, the greater the hold the enemy has, and the deeper he will take you into it. Why do you think in the Old Testament God covers every immoral sin that there is? He talks about parents having sex with their children. Today the world is rampant. We may not realize it in our church, but there are places where there are fathers who have sex with their daughters, or sons with the mothers, or mothers with the sons. Then we go into different things. The more you follow something, the more depraved you become. Now, I'm telling you straight. You don't hear me preach this way very often. But I'll tell you what. The Bible even talks about having sex with animals. God has covered it all. There is nothing in this world that is new to God. God has seen it all. Oh, I would never do that. You don't know that. You begin one thing and you begin slowly to decline until you are totally into being depraved and acting that way, and you have no intention of getting there. You have no idea. You go out to a party and you have a drink. And then before you know it, somebody drops something in that drink. And before you know it, you're out of it. The next thing you know, somebody's leading you upstairs. You go upstairs, and before you know it, there are five or six guys or girls waiting there, and you wake up in the morning, you have been raped. Sexual depravity. They don't realize what they're doing because they're overcome with alcohol, and so are you. Who's at fault? It all comes back to the big eye. If I know something is wrong, and I do it, then I have nobody to blame but myself. Yes, God still loves me, but he's not happy with me. Yes, he will forgive me, but there is a price to pay. Wrong decisions bring wrong results. All right? Idolatry. Oh, well, I would never worship an idol. All right? We were just talking before church about a people who want to sell their homes. And Kathy was sharing with us something that she saw on TV about people who real estate agents are now. There are kits that you can buy that you buy a statue of Joseph. Jesus is dead. Well, you know, Joseph, Mary got all the glory. Poor Joseph, you never hear about anything, Joseph. But now Joseph's coming into his own. You want to sell your house? You buy this little kit. It has a little statue of Joseph in it. It has a prayer that you say over it about selling your house. You bury him facing the house, head down, feet towards heaven, because, you know, you want to have his feet towards heaven, touching the heavenly places. And you'll sell your house. And after you sell your house, you dig up that statue and you put it in a place of prominence in your house. That's idolatry. You can call it anything you want. It's idolatry. It's idolatry when you pray to anyone but the Father in the name of Jesus. It's idolatry when you give someone a good luck charm. It's an idol in your life that you're saying, "Now take my four-leaf clover, it'll bring you good luck." Now we heard Diane talk about luck. There is no such thing as luck. Get it out of your vocabulary. There is no such thing as luck. Idolatry. You may have somebody that you revere higher than anyone else. It could be an idol. You can have a singer. You can have... Now, there's nothing wrong with admiring people who have godly character. But when you have... And I'm saying admiring, but you're not holding them as an idol. But when you have some of these people that you see on TV that do the wrong stuff and are standing for the wrong things and they become your idol, I'm sorry, or they become someone you look up to, you're wrong. It's an idol. Idolatry. Worship of idols or a person, a singer, or an athlete. But the word says idolatry is anything that you put first before God. Job, money, mate, children. Anything that comes before God is idolatry. Witchcraft. Witchcraft is magic, sorcery, and drugs. The Bible calls witchcraft seeking other sources other than God, but it also uses drug things. Drugs. Use of drugs, sorcery, and spells. Hatred. Detest or a strong dislike for something. The word says it's resentful, malicious, or you have unjustified feelings. I hate her. Your feelings are not justified. Why do you hate her? Why do you hate him? Why do you hate something? Do you have a justifiable reason? God hates sin. Why? Why does God hate sin? Because he knows the price that we pay when we yield to it. Variance. Set apart or divide. You have some friends that are your good friends, and before you know it, hey, did you hear about so-and-so? You know what she's doing? You're talking, you're setting that friend against at variance with the other friend. To separate, divide, to be in strife or doubt. You're on variance with the Word of God. Emulations is resentment or jealousy. You are resentful or you are a rival for something. Well, she's doing this and she's getting away with it, so then I'll just go ahead and do that and I'll do it the same thing. Wrong. You will pay. Wrath. It's where your anger becomes more than just plain anger. It's a fierce anger, and the Bible considers wrath as an outward emotion of an inward feeling. For example, somebody can say something to you and you dislike them. If you don't get rid of that feeling, if you don't get rid of that resentment, it's going to build and build and build and build in you. Nobody will know it but you. But one day, something will come up in your life and you will blow. You'll just explode. Your anger has built up so much inside of you that it has an outward expression. It's an outward emotion of an inward thing. Strife. Strife is conflict, quarrel, or discord. You do not have to agree with everybody. I like the color purple. You may not like the color purple. We're not in strife. But if you begin to argue with me about that, if we get into contention about it, this is mine, this is yours, no, there isn't any of this and this, then as you get into that strife and discord and you begin to fight and quarrel, you are in strife. Seditions. Seditions is rebelling or inciting someone else to rebel. You don't need to obey your mom. You know what? Your mom's never going to know where you are tonight. Come on with me. I know you're taking form here, but we'll never know. Yes, she will. And even if she doesn't, who will? Getting others to rebel or do the wrong thing. And it also means if you go along with them in it. Heresies. Unacceptable doctrines. Things that lead you away from the Word of God. Occult worship, devil worship, Satan worship. All those kind of things are heresies. Unless the Word of God is your final authority in every area of your life, you are not going to know what the Word of God says, nor are you going to want to follow it. Now, envying. Envying is a desire to have what someone else has. It's to covet.
Oh, that's a nice thing to have this, and that's a solid gold pen. Yeah, I like this pen. It's really nice. Yeah, I like that pen. I'm coveting that pen.
Now, the difference between envy and jealousy is this. Jealousy is where you want what the other person has. Envying is where you don't want them to have it, and you say, I deserve that better than you. I deserve that award better than you did. I should have won that race. I should have been chosen. I should have gotten the promotion, not you. Well, you are so resentful that you don't want the other person to have it. You want it for yourself. Envying is, yes, I wish I had one like that, but I am not going to do anything to take it away from her. You understand what I'm saying? Wow, that guy that she's dating is really a hot. I'm going to do everything I can to get him away from her. That's envy. Jealousy is, wow, I sure wish I had somebody like that. Lord, send me someone like that. Turn everything and every one of these things around to asking God to give it to you, and he will. Murder. Everybody knows what murder is. Premeditated killing or malice, taking another one's life. Drunkenness, intoxicated, habit of getting drunk. It also means, in the Bible, taking part in satanic rituals. There are people in satanic rituals who drink the blood of another person. Because when they do that, it exalts them to a higher position satanically. The last one is reveling. We don't use a lot of these words today. So if we were to use them today, you would know that they're carousing around. What's carousing? Going from party to party, drinking excessively, having a good time, living it up, and living wrongly. Now, again, what does the Bible say? It says the flesh wars against the spirit. These are things that the Spirit of God says, stay away from. If you do not stay away from them, wrong decisions bring wrong results. And you are going to pay. Now, let's just come back for a minute here to the person who decides to have sex with another thing. And why I'm concentrating on this is sex is a big thing today. It's everywhere. You see it on TV, you can't pick up a magazine, you see an ad for blue jeans, and it's nothing but sex. We live in a world of sex. We are contaminated by the world. We are in this world, we are going to see those things, but we do not have to take part in them. Now, zeroing in on you, okay, this is fine. So, you decide you're going to go to a party. You get drunk. You have sex with someone, whether you know it or not, and you end up getting pregnant. There's a price to pay if you make the wrong decision. God has given us his word. His word is the truth, and everything that is contrary to the truth is wrong. And we need to realize that. You also need to realize that the devil will do everything he can to get you out of what God would have you to follow. Galatians 5:1 says this, stand fast. You know what stand fast means? Plant your feet. Don't be moved. Feel them in concrete if you have to. Stand fast in the liberty that Christ has made you free with. And don't be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. So you've done any of the things that I have mentioned here. You've done some of these works of the flesh that we have gone through. What do? You repent. I'm sorry, Lord, forgive me. You receive His forgiveness by faith, and you break the tie of the enemy. You break the things that you have done. Also, you need to break the friends that are leading you that way. Listen to me. There is no, you young men, you don't need to be enticing other women to be in the back seat of cars. You girls, you don't need to be enticed into, oh, come on to my apartment, or come up to my dorm, or how about my room, or come to this party with me, or let's go disco, baby, let's live it up. All those things, they're funny. Because the world will use things that are fun to lure you. But once the devil has you, he will keep you following that route. You see, okay, what you wear is a representative of Christ. It is. It really is. You wear clothes that are too tight. You wear shirts up to here. You wear jeans down to here. You wear your things way down. You wear the plunging V. I'm sorry. You are not a representative for the Lord Jesus Christ. You wear the Abercrombie and Fitch. Do you think that makes Jesus smile? Sorry, it does not. It makes Him weep to think that He paid His life for you. And that's as much as you credit Him with, that you can't even watch what you wear. And the same thing with guys. Same thing with guys. We need to represent everything you put on. You should ask yourself as you look in the mirror, if I walked up and I confronted Jesus right like this, and He looked at me and said, may I touch it? Or would He look at you and say, do you represent me? Everything you say, you represent Jesus. How you react to a situation, you represent Jesus. You're out on the ball field. You miss a ball. You don't want to miss that ball. You don't hit a home run. You don't hit it. You hit a high pop-up fly. And you come off there. Is that representing Jesus? Or are you saying, Lord, help me the next time to get that ball where you want it to go so that I can be a testimony to you? Your friends say, hey, there's a show on. There's an R-rated movie. We're going to have it. My folks are going to be home. We're having a party. Come on over. Folks aren't home. Don't go. Don't go. Wrong. What I'm saying to you today is, this is a real world we live in. But you need to know that there is a spiritual battle. And you are going to either lean one way, or you are going to lean the other way. And that doesn't just mean you. It means everybody in the workforce. You work and you have a job, and you take a 20-minute coffee break instead of 15, you're robbing your employer. You pick up a pen and you take it home. He'll never miss if he's got plenty. Two paper clips, I'll just stuff them in my pocket. No. Anything we do should represent Jesus. And He should be proud and not ashamed. Christ has set you free. And it's up to you if you are going to remain free. Now, my last thing is, as I said to you before, if you are away without love, you are out of the will of God. In this circle, in the first circle that I have is the circle of the world. Alright? We are all in the world. We're all in the world. This is you. This is you if you've accepted Christ. You are here. But know that the world is the enemy, isn't it? And so what happens if the world is the enemy and you are in the center and you are in God's love. Can y'all see this? Alright? You are in God's love. So now, the enemy is going to use some of those things that I said to you. He's going to use the lust. He's going to use sex. He's going to use the yielding. He's going to use all those things. And they are all coming at you to do what? To get you to leave the circle of love. And when you follow it, you leave the love. When you leave the love, you leave the liberty. When you leave the liberty, you leave the protection. And you open yourself up to all the things that the devil has. Sickness, disease, poverty, lack, death, destruction, failure, all of those things are waiting to come at you. The name of the game that Satan has is to get you out of love. If you are in Christ, he is love. And that's what he wants to do, get you out of that, to have you break that. Once you break that, once you step out of there, you are Satan's territory. You are open to the things of the enemy. And he's not just going to say, I'll let you go this time, this was a test. Uh-uh. He will use that to keep zeroing in on you and draw you deeper and deeper and deeper into the things of the world. So, my final thing is this. Never lose your first love. Is it going to please God? Does this please God? Is it pleasing him the way I live? Is it pleasing him the way I dress? Is it pleasing him the way I talk? Is it pleasing him the things I watch? Is it pleasing him the actions that I do? Is it pleasing to him the friends that I have? Is it pleasing to him when I go here that I represent him? Or am I displeasing him and any of those things? A way without love is as bad as in the army being a way without leave. Natural things follow a spiritual path. The army says, you break this law, you pay the price. A way without leave is a law that you break. A way without love is a law that you break in the spiritual realm, and you pay. Amen? All right. Father, we come in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord, and we praise you for your word. We thank you, Lord, for the understanding of your word. We thank you for the revelation of your word. You've shown us today, Lord, the things that please you and the things that do not. Now, in the mighty name of Jesus, we thank you, Father God, that we totally repent of anything that we have done that has been displeasing you, and I will lead you in that prayer right now. Father, I come in the name of Jesus. I repent of any wrong that I have done that has grieved your spirit or has quenched it or has led me away from you. I repent. I ask you to forgive me. And I receive my forgiveness by love. And Satan, I am closing the door with the blood of Jesus. I am breaking every soul tie of anything wrong and anyone that I have done anything wrong with in the name of Jesus and with his blood. I am set free.
I am set free.
Jesus has set me free.
Jesus has set me free.
And I make a choice.
And I make a choice.
To walk in the freedom
to walk in the freedom
that he has given me. Amen.